8.7. Here comes the field goal kicker. Marshall Wood is perfect tonight, 2 for 2 from 37 and 26. This on the near side hash, this for the win. With 8.7 to play, trailing by 2, this field goal would win it for St. Paul's.
This is it right here. It's all on the line. It comes down to this one play, this one field goal try.
Blake Martin will hold. Wood will kick. Snap down, kick up. Kick is no good! Tell us
it's good! It's wide right, baby.
Derek Ansley joining us. Derek, hey, good morning to you. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing well. Last night, I mean, what a night for you. You're given the key to the city. Could you have ever imagined you would receive something like that from the Tallahassee City Council?
No. I never would have thought that. I don't even think I know anybody that's ever received the key to anything. So it was definitely a blast last night. All my parents got to come out, and my friends and wife, and it was a really good event last night. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, we very proud. I know that it must have been nice to have all those folks there to support you in that moment. And obviously, with a messy night at that, it was pretty messy with the rain. But, we've kept up with you as you've made your way through the ranks in coaching, obviously watching you as a Tallahassee player back in the late 90s when you graduated with Mark Rose there last night as well, Jared Jones, Coach Atkins was there too. What was that like to have those guys back?
Well, it meant a lot. You know, those are some of the guys that, you know, kind of molded my life and helped me along the way. And to get those guys to come back, you know, from their different parts of their lives and different things they're doing now and come back, take time to come back and spend that night with us was definitely a blessing. And we very, very appreciate that from those guys.
Yeah, I talked with Coach Rose, who coached you guys in that great 1999, 13-1 season all the way to the semifinals. And he says every time you making your next move, you always contact him and tell him about it, and you were telling him about the latest, obviously just coming off this national championship with Nick Saban, and that you got the call from John Gruden, and he says that you give him a ring on that. And I know you keep close tabs on coaches like got Coach Rose still today. How often do you still communicate with guys like Coach Rose?
Oh man, I talk to Coach Rose, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. You know, we text a lot. And just stay in touch. He keeps me up on what's going on with him and Noe Jackson, him and his family. And I just try to keep him abreast of what's going on with me and my family and my career. So, you know, we talk every week, you know, 2 or 3 times a week.
Second and 11. Dallas is on 32. In motion is Peters on the left side. Izzy Williams along back. We'll play fake and we'll look. And here is wide open. Brad Peters down the backfield. Got the catch in midfield. He's to the 45, 40-yard line. Peters to the 35.
Well, let's talk about your rise up through the ranks. I mean, and we've talked with you about what you've done as a player going through Troy and getting to be a coach with Mike Turk at Huntington and then getting into the SEC and coaching in Kentucky. And, you know, we went to Alabama and as a GA and then went and coached with Tennessee and Kentucky and came back to Alabama. You know, tell us more about Nick Saban and working with a guy like that. What that's been like for you? We don't get to see it like you do. You're in meetings with him. You're on the sideline. You're always around a guy like that. What was that like?
Well, man, you know, I was Coach Saban's GA in 2010 and 2011. So, you know, I spent 4 years of my 13-year career with him, and it's been a blast. I mean, it had a great impact on my career. He's a very detailed coach, understands what he wants, defines everybody's role in the organization, and he does a great job of holding everybody accountable. I think that really sets him apart from everybody else in the country. He has a clear vision of how he wants things run, and if you're not doing your job or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and he doesn't have a problem confronting you. And I think that's a healthy balance, and that's why he's been successful everywhere he's been, because he's not afraid to define your role and hold you accountable to that role.
You know, he's a protege himself of Bill Belichick, and he talked about when he was an assistant under him that he never slept. He stayed there. Belichick would stay in the office. He would stay in the office, and, you know, he'd sneak out at 3 in the morning to go get a couple of winks. But how much of a dedication is it to work with a guy who's that dedicated to his trade for you guys?
Well, I think it bleeds down, you know, all the way into the players. You know, starts with him. His work ethic is tremendous, and he's not afraid to outwork competition. And I think that work ethic, you know, bleeds down through the assistant coaches, you know, throughout everybody else in the administration side of everything. And it is a testament of him. You know, he's a worker. He's not slowing down. I think he's 66 years old, and he's going as strong as ever. So, you know, his work ethic kind of sets the standard and sets the tone for everybody else in the organization.
And you are 35 now, right, Derek? Is that right?
36.
No, you must have just turned 36. All right. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You work with not only Nick Saban, you work with Kirby Smart. You work with Jeremy Pruitt, who's now got a job in the SEC, and a lot of assistants that have been through there. How has that been for you as well? I mean, you just picked up so much, I know, working with guys like that.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, you know, Coach Saban is my biggest mentor, you know, in this profession. And Coach Pruitt and Coach Smart, you know, are definitely two of the other mentors that I have. I was actually Coach Pruitt's GA when he first became the defensive backs coach in 2010. So me and him kind of, you know, cut our teeth together. He was kind of learning on the job. And, you know, me and him have a really strong relationship. And Coach Smart actually hired me to be the graduate assistant at Alabama. So I'm very, you know, close to those guys. We both have a unique, you know, relationship. And those guys, Kirby's doing well, and then Pruitt's going to do well at Tennessee. There's no doubt about it.
You were so close last year. You got it this time around. What was that like, and what a game?
Well, this is actually my third championship game, and we actually won it in 2011. Actually beat LSU. That was my last year as a GA before I left to go to Tennessee and then Kentucky. So this is actually the first time I won it as a full-time assistant, but we actually won it in 2011 against LSU in the Sugar Bowl. So this time around, it was very, you know, gratifying because of all the hard work you put into it. It takes a lot, you know, to win a national championship on all levels. From the players to the coaches to everybody, you know, pulling in the same direction, and to actually get it done this year, you know, in the fashion that we got it done in was great. You know, there was a lot of emotion in that game, you know, highs and lows, you know, a lot of build up, you know, Kirby versus Coach. So it was a lot of emotions running through that dome in Atlanta. You know, then going to Georgia and playing those guys in their home state. You know, the first game we played against Florida State and ending up back there, which is very, very, you know, gratifying.
You were offered a job at Colorado State as the defensive coordinator, and then John Gruden calls. So what went into the decision-making? Obviously, you got a lot of options there. You could have stayed in Tuscaloosa and stayed on staff at Alabama. You could have gone out there and become a DC at Colorado State. But here's this NFL chance. Kind of break all that down to how that came about.
First thing happens fast. You know, when you do a good job and, you know, you do things the right way, you know, people take notice and you get opportunities. And, you know, when we won the national championship, you know, I definitely want to be a defense coordinator, head coach, you know, so that opportunity presented itself at Colorado State. It was an opportunity that we was definitely looking at very closely. But to get a chance to coach at a national football level, you know, is very, you know, hard to turn down. And I've always been a guy that wants to coach at the highest level and compete at the highest level. You know, so that was something that I really couldn't turn down at this point in my career, the opportunity to go learn from a guy like John Gruden, who's, you know, a great offensive mind, you know, he's a proven winner. So it's very, very hard for us to turn that down, and I think it's the best thing for us to do at this point.
Yeah, you're crossing over. You won't be recruiting so much. I mean, I know there'll be a lot of other responsibilities, but I want to ask you about Gruden and the call. What was it like? I mean, you just where were you when he called? What did he say? Tell us about that.
Well, it was actually Tuesday morning, the day after the championship game. We was actually boarding a plane, you know, in Atlanta, coming back to Tuscaloosa, and I got a call, you know, from a number I didn't recognize, and it was Coach Gruden, and it was very, very flattering. You know, he was very, you know, straight to the point. You know, he's very, you know, complimentary of the game, the previous game, the night before, and he was just, you know, gauging my interest and seeing if I had any interest to come to Oakland. And I told him I did, and I was on the next flight the next day out to Oakland on Wednesday morning. So it was very, very, you know, flattering and exciting at the same time.
Well, talk about some of those differences as you're making that next step to the NFL. I mean, college ranks, you win a championship, then you'd go right back to recruiting. And so now you're going to trade some of that recruiting to a full-time, you know, business-like atmosphere in the NFL. What kind of expectations do you have in the differences there?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously there is no recruiting in the National Football League, but there is, you know, in free agency, you know, so there is some you know, bringing guys in, you know, recruiting them to sign with you in free agency. So it's not to the magnitude of college football, but there is some of that still, you know, still involved courting guys to get them to sign as free agents. But, you know, the coaching in the NFL, it's a lot more business, you know, business-like. You're dealing with professionals. You're dealing with guys that are, you know, men, that are husbands, you know. So it's definitely different than the college game. You know, we look forward to, you know, learning the game, understanding the culture of the NFL, and, you know, going to attack it every single day. But, you know, recruiting is great. You know, I really enjoy recruiting, the relationships that you define for yourself with the recruits, you know, their parents, their coaches. You know, it's always an ever-changing thing recruiting, because you never know where you're going to go recruit a kid the next year. So that part of it I will miss, because I do miss establishing relationships with young men. And I think at that age, you know, when you get them from 18 to 22, you know, you have the most impact to kind of shape their life, you know, going forward for the next, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. So that part I will miss. But, you know, the opportunity to coach pros and coach at the highest level is something that I'm excited about as well.
Yeah, you say you're heading out here basically in about a week, right? I mean, you will be in Oakland, and then they're making a transition shortly thereafter. It won't be long. They'll be in Vegas. Going to be a little change of culture for you, I think, huh?
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a change, you know, moving to the West Coast. But yeah, at the end of the day, I've lived in Tennessee. I've lived in, you know, Orlando. I've lived in Lexington, Tuscaloosa. So it's all football. You know, the big city is going to be a little bit different for us. But, you know, we're going to find our way and find our niche and carve our way out there and go out there and try to get it done.
Family excited about it? I know you got a daughter and your wife. Obviously, it's going to be something that they're going to be looking forward to, I assume.
Absolutely. My wife, she's very excited, you know, by moving to the Bay. You know, she's a lady that's always like change. So it's very good. You know, my little girl, she has no idea what's going on until we get there. But, you know, my wife's on board, and, you know, my parents are very excited for us. And it's a great opportunity. It's the next step, you know, to get into our ultimate goal, which is to be a head coach. And, you know, no better guy to go learn from doing that than Coach Group. He's, you know, developed a lot of coordinators and head coaches under him. You know, so I look forward to it.
Yeah, you will be a head coach. We know that at some point. I mean, like you say, you're just 36 years old. But is it? Are you thinking college game maybe down the road, and NFL, or just whatever best opportunity comes up for you?
Well, I don't think I want to, you know, put myself in a box and say college or pros. You know, I think it's got to be the best opportunity. It's got to be a situation where you can win. Obviously, I have more ties in the college game. I've been doing it longer. But, you know, going to the pros, you never know how that thing can pan out either. So I don't want to box myself in and say, you know, one way or the other. I definitely want to coach in a situation where you can win. You got good people around you, you know, a good organization where you can be successful. So whichever one presents itself, you know, I'm definitely going to take a strong look at it.
So what you're saying is, if you were called and offered a chance to be the head coach of the Browns, you might have to think hard about that. that might not be a good situation.
Well, I don't know. You never know. Sometimes you can go in there and change culture, so that would be a challenge in itself.
You, as busy as you are, how often do you get back home? I know you're here obviously this week, but I mean, you come back like once or twice a year. How does that work for you?
Well, obviously, being in Tuscaloosa, you can get home a lot. You know, a lot more.
No doubt,
than being out of state. So, you know, whenever I get some off time, I always come home, see my family, see my friends. You know, with us being in Oakland, you know, that would have to be more strategic now with off season and things like that. But we get back as much as we can. You know, all of our family's still there. My wife's in Mobile, you know, so we go down there a lot. So we're Alabama people. So as much as we can get there, we're going to get there.
You guys were so close to a state championship when you played your senior year here. If Tallahassee gets to the state championship game at any point here in the next few years, I know you'll be out there and it'll be probably a game week or so. Maybe it'll work out. We want you to come back and join us in the press box if you can and root us on for maybe a title. We appreciate what you've done here, Derek. Congratulations on getting that key to the city, and good luck in Oakland and in the NFL with Gruden and company. Appreciate your time today.
So we appreciate you guys having us on, and if I can do anything for you guys to help the community or to help the football team, you know, feel free to give me a call. You know, that's a near and dear, you know, place in my heart, you know, place that really molded me and helped me get to where I'm at. So I'm always going to be loyal to the hometown.
All right. We'll be back in touch. Derek, thanks so much. Appreciate your time again.
Thank y'all.
Okay, take care. All right.
Good luck to you.
Outstanding run by Justin Williams. Outstanding play that time by Derek Ansley.
Bad Mike.
Derek Ansley. Justin Williams.
Yeah, Derek will drop back, look to throw straight back. Got a man wide open. Chris Thompson got it at the 10, the 5. He's in. Touchdown.
He hadn't missed a workout for 2 years I've been here. I guess they don't go on vacation.
And looking to his left is Ansley. He's going to cut up. He's got the first down. Makes a nice spin move at the 20 to 15. He's going to score a touchdown, folks. Derek Ansley's in, and Dallas leads 6-0.
Great kid.
Now looks to throw. Rolling right side. Throwing back over the middle. His pass is intercepted by Ansley. At the 40-yard line is Derek Ansley. He's being looked at by college teams.
Being recruited as one of the top defensive backs in the state of Alabama. He's a great leader for us.
Ansley is the quarterback. He'll hand it right side to Williams. Up through the middle of the gun. He broke it free. Ladies and gentlemen, he's off again. 40-yard line, midfield. He's going to go all the way. 30, 20, Justin Williams, 93 yards for a touchdown.
Justin's a great football player.
Right side, Williams. Williams up the 30. Broke it, 35, 40. Down the right sideline, midfield, 45, 40. He's going to go. 30, 25, 20. Justin Williams, the fader, 74 yards later, touchdown, Tigers.
If you give it to him enough, he's going to break it.
About 160 pounds, and he's got his squad up to 500 now. He'll make one move and get up the field.
Justin Williams, hardest yard of the night, but he got it. He broke free. He's at the 40, the 35, the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10-yard line. Goodness gracious.